Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? It seems that every time I try to use a multimedia when I'm preaching, that it doesn't turn out exactly like I want to. I think it's a conspiracy from Pastor Gary and our sound engineers. I'm going to have to deal with them about that. Yeah, it's not. I apologize for that. But what it was showing is some of the themes of what we're going to speak about as we get into this growing a healthy family. By the way, this is the first part of a two-part series. So I'm not sure when I'm going to do the second part, which is about bringing out the best in your kids. So hopefully after hearing the first part on how to grow a healthy family, you will return on some date in the future for the second part of this series, as this was really a fill-in for somebody who couldn't be here. But before I get into my message and hopefully what the Lord has laid upon my heart, that he'll speak through me and only speak words that he wants you to hear, I just want to make some announcements. I just want to welcome Dion Sterling. She's sort of hiding back there. She was ill for a number of weeks, and we thank the Lord for lifting her up. We pray that the Lord might continue to heal you and restore you to your full self. And it's rather ironic that we're talking about growing a healthy family, because I think the word says a man should not be by himself, Brother Trevor.
It is not good.
It's not good. It's not good. And I know, I knew that early, because I got married at 22. And my son is going to get married at 24. And Brother Renaud is now married. So introduce your nice wife here to us, Brother Renaud. Stand up and go ahead. And his, the next lovely person is his sister-in-law.
This is my sister-in-law. I've been inviting her for a long time, but she hasn't got time. But today,
no.
Thank you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and our hearts to you, and we pray that the words that might go forth today might not return void, that your words might penetrate each heart and life here, that it might be stirred, families might be drawn to you, individuals might be drawn to you, wounds might be healed, hearts might be healed, and we might go out of this place rejoicing, saying it was good to dwell together in your name. Through Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. The theme today is growing a healthy family. And if you probably didn't see some of the grays here, you probably would say, what does he know about a healthy family? Yeah, I'm 52 years old, and I've got three kids in their 20s, no more teenager. So I think I've got I've got some experience on what to talk about this. But when we got married almost 30 years ago, Cecile and I got married 30 years ago, I thought, you know, it was, I don't know about her, but I know about me, there was plans to have children. And I thought all it would take is love. Love. If you get the tone of that, you might know where I'm coming from. There's a song that says, all you need is love. All you need is love. And, you know, almost somebody said it, okay. And 20-something years later, I realized that it takes more than love. Our theme here, go to the next slide, Cameron. Theme says, Proverbs 24 and verse 3 says, it takes wisdom to have a good family, and it takes understanding to make it strong. For some people, this comes automatically. Some parents, it's easy. But for most of us, it takes hard work. It's not something that can just happen. And as we get into our discussion about what the Word teaches about how to grow a healthy family, I'm not talking about a perfect family. And surely my family is not perfect. There's my son there. When I saw him get up early, I thought he was going to leave because he knew I was preaching and he wouldn't have to hear what I have to say. I said, okay, good. I saw him sat back down. And my daughter is over there. So they can, you can talk to them after when I, when I'm done preaching, that they will validate what I'm saying. That I'm not a perfect parent, neither is my wife. So we're not talking about perfection here. We're talking about following the guidelines of what the Word says. Follow it to the best of our ability. And we're going to come later on some down the point where we said, oh, if I could have done this or if I could have done that. But so make it clear now, we're not talking about perfection. We're just talking about following the guidelines of what the Lord lays down. And that's the new, if you were in ABS earlier, our brother talked about using one particular version. There's a number of different versions here, and that's sort of good too. You'll get a different spin on things when you use a different version. This is, comes from the New Century Version, this quotation, which says, it takes wisdom to have a good family, and it takes understanding to make it strong. So let's move on. How do you prepare your kids for life? The first thing, how to prepare your kids for life. The first portion there comes from Luke. It says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. There's four things coming out of that. Four things, four strategies, four templates for you to follow as new family member, new parents, or those of you who are planning to have kids. I look a certain direction and then they smile with me. I know some of you plan, some of you are past childbearing age, but it's still pertinent. There are four things that comes out of this Luke 2 and verse 52. First, Jesus grew in wisdom. What is this saying? He grew mentally. He had mental and intellectual growth. The first thing, he grew mentally and intellectually. So we're talking about somebody who's wise, who's growing mentally, intellectually. He's understanding, he's growing intellectually. Then he grew in stature. That's talking about physical growth. It always never ceases to amaze me when you see kids and then you don't see them for a long while. People say, how comes you grow so tall? Like, if you had not grown, they'd say, what's wrong with you? I found myself doing the same thing to my neighbor as I look across the road. I noticed my neighbor's son was almost as tall as me, and I said to him, hey, you're really growing. You're going to catch up your father. But the kids are supposed to grow. They're not supposed to stay babies. Otherwise, they'll join the circus and they shoot them out of a cannon. No, no, they're supposed to grow, hopefully, if everything is so wrong. So the first thing, they should grow mentally, and then they should grow physically. The third thing it says is they grew in favor with God. Spiritual growth. There should be spiritual growth. So we've got intellectual growth, we've got physical growth, we've got spiritual growth. And the fourth thing is that they grew in favor with man. There should be social growth. What are we talking about, social growth? Their interaction with people. They need to learn how to interact with people, and I'll get a little bit deeper on that later on. Social growth, and if you can remember the time when Jesus was about 12 and he left his parent and he was interacting with the older folks, 12 years old, and he was carrying on a good conversation. So that bears out that Jesus was growing along those terms, that he was interacting with learned people, carrying on a good conversation. You know, I hate to go back in time, but my reference point is back then. You know, they said children should be heard and not seen. Seen, and not heard. In these days, it's completely different. Kids are in the conversation, partaking. So it bears out from that interaction that Jesus was growing in these four areas. And it's the same fashion that we should strive to grow our kids in this fashion. In growing our kids in that fashion, if you look, turn to the next verse there in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, you must teach these commandments to your children and talk about them when you're at home, or out for a walk at bedtime and the first thing in the morning. I know for us, first thing in the morning means coffee and out the door. What is it saying here? Let's break it down. First it says you. You must teach your children. If you're a parent here, it's saying you. If you're a parent, the moment you have these kids, you've got a job description. You've got your work cut out for you. You, not grade school, not the government, not preschool. It's you. You've got an obligation to teach your kids. It says there, you, and it must. What is the must saying? Is this optional? You've got no option. You are, I sort of like it, but Kevin, you must bone and compound, teach them. You've got a job to do. You cannot skip it out. You must do it. And then it says, you must teach them. What are we talking about teaching them here? You must share with them spiritual things. You must teach them various things. And in doing this, in this Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, talking about you must teach these commandments, we're going to learn certain things from your family. You know, generally from your family, you learn how to use the remote. You know, Cameron knows about remote. In the old days, you turn the knob. You know, I think I remember. My kids were younger. I'd send them go change a channel because, go change a channel for me. But now they learn how to use the remote, to surf the net, to eat, to sleep, and all that stuff. But there's some fundamental things that you learn from a family. There are three fundamental things that we learn in a family. The first and very important one is relationships. Relationships are learned within the family. I think your happiness in life will be determined by what you learn about relationships. If you don't know how to relate to people, you're going to be very miserable throughout life. You got to learn how to relate to people. In your home, what goes on in your home will determine how you relate to people outside of home. When there's a problem, do you climb up and don't say anything? Or you open up and share? Some of these things we don't learn because we might have come from dysfunctional family. I think mine was bordering on dysfunctional. I don't know about you. Some of you might, some of you not. But relationship is very important. The family has got to teach how to deal with people. In a relationship, there's some key components to learn in good relationships. Truthfulness. There's got to be truth. We've got to share the truth with each other. We've got to be honest. We've got to be vulnerable. And I'm going to spend some little time here on vulnerable. We've got to be able to open up to each other. I find in my relationship with people that people are a little bit reticent to open up to you unless you open up to them. So if you sit back there and don't open up to people, nobody's going to open up to you. I find that when I share some of my deepest thoughts and things that happen to me, people say, yes, you know, that happened to me. So we've got to be vulnerable. So in developing good relationships, it takes communication. What does it take?
Communication.
What does it take? Communication. We've got to be communicating with each other. If we don't talk to each other, relationship, there can be no relationship there. The other thing that in building good relationships that's going to have to happen is that in relationships, we hurt each other. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentional. You know, as a leader in this church, I probably have hurt a lot of folks, sometimes intentionally because of my persona, or sometimes just unintentional. I might not have looked at you, or I might have looked at you when I shouldn't, and it causes hurt. So guess what? We've got to have a forgiving heart. We've got to be able to, willing to forgive each other. We can't carry around grudges years and years and years. It just gets heavier. So we've got to have a forgiving heart if we're going to build good relationships. And remember I said no. If you don't know how to relate to people, you're going to have a tough time. You're going to have to see the psychologist. And we've got a budding psychologist. Where is she? She's usually sitting in the back there. She's almost a PhD. Where is she? Oh, she's not here. Sunday school, thank you. But First and foremost, you've got to learn relationships, and it happens inside of your home. Some homes are so dysfunctional that there is all sorts of things going on there. Some are pretty good, the laugh and chatter and interaction. But if you haven't learned good relationship, you're going to have to learn it in some fashion. The second thing that you can learn from your home is character. You know, we had a big discussion in this North American Society of Ours a long time ago, probably 20 years ago, about whether character matters. Of course, character matters. I'd say character is what you do when nobody is around or nobody knows you're doing it. You know, a lot of people do things and, oh, I misspoke or I didn't mean to do it. It's what's inside of you, the choices you make. And this character for kids will be learned by modeling. You know, a story comes to mind when it talks about character in that my neighbor is redoing his house, and he's making up pretty good because he had the upstairs, he has a house similar to mine, in one of his bedrooms where the pipe broke and leaked all over the house downstairs. So for some reason, insurance was really good to him that they gave him enough money to redo the whole first floor. So I think a mail came to me by accident, so I went over to his home and I said, David, I've got a mail by accident for you. And he said, come on in, Donna, come on, let me show you what's going on in the house. And then he's showing me what's going on, and then he took me to the Florida room, and he said, oh, yeah, I'm changing my sliding glass doors, which are just like yours, and I've got like 8 French doors, but I only need 4. Do you want the other 4? And I'm like, okay. Just as he said, do you want the other 4? I heard his son, which is around 12 or 13, stand there, and all he got to do is spot me $100. What is that saying? It's probably saying that prior to his discussion and his offer to give me the doors, that he's expecting $100 from me. So be careful what you say within your household. Your kids are always listening. You're modeling to your kids. They catch things. They listen intentively. I see my daughter when we have family discussion, how she sit there and she suck up everything. And your kids do it too. Even if they're not around you, you're sending them a message. By your action, by just being alive, by just being their parent, you're modeling your values to them. So be careful. You're passing on. More is caught than learned. And whatever character traits your kids have, where do they get them? You know, we've got television and all the environment that influences our kids. But I think, and somebody should do a study on this, if there's not a study done on it already, that most of our character and our values are formed within the household, from our home. You know, I think that's true, because I'm always told that my kids are very much like me, especially when my kids lock their cousins in the closet. And they say, oh, Donna, that's exactly what you would do. But no, they were wrong on that one. The third thing that could be learned, that can be learned within the family, is values. Value is what is important to you in life. What are your values as regards to work? Is work the most important thing to you? You know, I'll say Caribbean, or I'll say people of color, or people who have just come to this country. We tend to work real hard because we came here for a specific reason, to improve ourselves. But there is a joke that says, you know, people who are Jamaicans tend to have 100 jobs. I heard that on the radio, you know. But in having all these jobs and working so hard, what message are we sending to our kids? That work is the most important thing? Of course we got to work. And if you don't work, you're, especially if you're, you know, you ought to work. You ought to earn a living. But you must put it in the proper perspective. If you work 7 days a week, 14 hours a day, you're telling your children that work is the most important thing to you. What are your values as it relates to money? You know, they say you can pull somebody's checkbook and tell exactly what they're all about. So be careful where you leave your checkbook. They'll tell exactly what your values are, what are most important to you. And these are the values that you're passing off to your kids. What about sex? And as a preview, we're going to have a series on sex about somewhere around September. So stay tuned. We've got a whole list of things we're going to preach to you on. So these are the values. And yes, there is TV that passes off a lot of values to you. And it's be careful about the TV, especially younger ones, how much TV they watch. Because they're going to be passing off their values. And most of the channels aren't that healthy. Just a tip about TV that I just found out, that don't watch TV while you're eating, because it takes 70 minutes longer to finish your meal. So one thing at a time. Don't multitask. But just be careful who is passing our values to your kids. So as I said, there are three things that, just to refresh, three things that we can learn from our family: relationships, character, and values. Those are the three things that we can learn from our family. And you know, I know it doesn't apply to none of you here. And some folks say, I'm not going to teach my kids religion or share my values or my Christianity, or I'd hate to say Christianity, with my kids. I'm just going to open up everything to them. No good. Most of the time, it's down the drain the kids go. And we know the statistics are out there. The broken home, the lack of black men of color who are, most of them, a significant portion of them are either in jail or on drugs or somewhere that they shouldn't be. So the home is most important. So that's the first, how we prepare our kids for life. And remember now, we're preparing our kids for life. They're not going to stay little ones forever. We should prepare them for what they're going to meet as they get older, and hopefully as they leave your nest and go out into the outdoor. The second thing is protecting your kids in storm. I say protecting your kids in storm. Notice I didn't say protect your kids from storm. And I'm guilty of it too. Most of my prayers is, dear Lord, protect Casey, Kristen, and Cameron from this, that, and we do that regularly. Storms come. Hurricanes come. We are buffeted by all different things. There's a song that says the rain falls on everybody's head. They're going to have difficulties. We cannot stop these difficulties from coming by. And I hope I don't step on anybody's toe here, but it never ceases to amaze me that parents with just one child, and hopefully I don't look at anybody too, but they're a little bit more protective. So I say, have another one so that you don't have so much time to protect that one. And I see one person smiling. But I went through it too, you know, let me confess. When we had our first child, we were very protective. They call it, there's a new name for it called hover. Pardon me?
Helicopter.
We just hover over that child. You know, we just all over them but we can't protect them from storm. It's going to come whether you like it or not. What are we supposed to do then if we can't protect them from storm? Some of the things that's going to come by them, let me. We can't protect them from the storm, but we can protect them in the storm. Because things are going to come by them, and we're supposed to provide the home or the place where they can be nurtured, where they can come in times of difficulties. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26 says, reverence for the Lord gives a man deep strength. His children have a place of refuge and security. That's what a home should provide in times of storm, that they can come back to this home and feel the hug and the love. What am I talking about in all these storms that come our life? There are three things that I want to touch on. The first one is change. There's a saying that the only constant is change itself. Changing this world happens so quickly. We change relationships. We change jobs. Not me. I held one job for 22 years. I used to be proud of it, but now I'm not anymore. When I tell people I was at one place, they say, "What's wrong with you?" But there are changes. People change churches. I stayed at one church for 22 years too, by the way. I'm probably very too conservative. That's what I'm told. But there's constant changes, and we've got to be able to adapt to these changes. And these are some of the storms, some of the changes you can't control. You know, get up, you know, I've heard where people go to work and the door is chained. They're locked out. The job isn't there anymore. My wife's company where she's worked for 9 years is in bankruptcy. So she might not be working there after June. So these are things that you can't control. How do you deal with it? You've got to prepare your kids for these changes. And as I said before, the only constant is change itself. Failure happens. Nobody wins all the time. Because if you define winning, it has to use the word losing. So if anybody comes to you and tell you that you can win all the time, run the other direction. Because there's some times we're going to lose. And you got to prepare your kids for that. A lot of your work, I think most of your work, promotions aren't going to come your way when you think you're due it. I want to share something personal. I was just reflecting as I prepared for this, talking about promotion. The last time I had a promotion was back when I was working in Connecticut over 25 years ago. I don't know. I'm probably just a bad employee. But I have not had a promotion over 25 years. And I hopefully you'd want to hire me just in case I lose my job. But failure is just a part of life. You know, it's going to happen. You know, when these things happen, we can find solace in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 10, which says, "Two are better than one. If one falls down and the other can help him up, but if someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad because there's no one to help him." We need the support of family to help us in times of failure. And that's what the home should provide. You know, my wife is very strict or very tough on providing. You know, the home is supposed to be a shelter, you know, when things, you know, because my tendency is to be very rough on the kids. And I think it's a manly thing. Guys, right?
No.
You just wake up. Can the deacons take him out? Yes, good, Michael. Yeah, but I always take my kids to the limit. We tease and we play rough games. And my wife said, "No, you know, the home is where they're supposed to be nurtured and no rough house." But I think that it's like preparing for war. You know, inside the home, you got to be trained for what's going on. They don't just send you to war. They train you. They let you climb up these things underneath, shoot things, you know, what do you call it? Bullets come and fly over your head or what have you, preparing you. But that's another thing. The third thing in types of storm that can come by you is rejection. Probably that's the toughest one to face. Rejection. It happens. Again, me. I was rejected twice from engineering school. Twice. Then I just say, I'm just going to stay here and do a regular degree. And this Friday, I'm probably going to cry because my son is going to graduate with an engineering degree. So after 30 years, after 30 years, I will probably be able to share this engineering degree with him. And I can duly say that because I helped him along. I tell him, make this choice, do this, do that. So I'll probably see if I can sneak my name onto his certificate. But folks, rejection are things that happen. I don't know. I wasn't that fantastic sports-wise, but on the playground, kids, when they start picking teams, don't you worry and sweat if you're not the first one? When are they going to pick me? And then you get picked because they must pick you, right? So, and kids are brutal. You know, they'll tell you as they see it. And that's, you got to, you know, after that happens, you've got to go home. And hopefully home provides the environment for you to recover from that. So those are three difficulties that come up in life that home needs to provide that nurturing environment. Mark chapter 3 and verse 25 said, he says, a home filled with strife and division destroys itself. We must work together. Parents, both parents, you need to work together. I know the kids will try to play one off on the other. You know, but it must provide the atmosphere for kids to come home after changes, failure, and rejection so they can support. And how do we help in these difficult times? There are four things that I want to say that we need to do. We must hear, listen. But first, there are four things. They all start with H. First one, we must hear. And I think I'm weak on that. And my kids will probably agree. You must listen to your kids. When they start talking, hear them out. Don't be too quick to offer solutions. You need to hug them. And if you're sitting next to your spouse, hug them right now and say, I love you. Do it right now. Turn to the left or to the right and hug them and say, practice now so that when you go home, you hug your kids. Seriously, folks, hug your kids. Then you need to provide hope for them. We talk about, you know, provide affirmation for what they do so that there can be hope. And finally, help them. Offer help. Don't just say, oh, pull yourself up by your bootstrap. I think I've used that a couple of times. Help them. Seek assistance. When they're weak in certain areas, go out and find assistance for them. The third thing, moving rapidly along, is play with your kids for fun. Play with your kids for fun. Have you ever seen The Sound of Music? And I'm old school now. Where's Gary? Blow the whistle. Yes, and the kids come marching in. Blow the whistle again, and they march out. Now, have fun. Gary, when we have muscles, bring the kids so we can have fun.
Amen.
Bring the kids. What, all you little guys, bring the kids so you can have fun. I know your time is limited. Spend some time and play with them, hug them, kiss them. You know, the last time I played with my son, he almost took my shoulder out. So I said, like, no more playing with you. No more playing. We play from afar. I remember what I used to do with them. I this is going way back. When they were real small, because they were 6 pounds and a couple ounces, I'd hold them like this and I'd say, Kunte Kinte! Kids are supposed to be enjoyed. What does the Bible say? Children are a gift from the Lord. And it talks about having your quiver, and I fell short. Those of you just starting out, fold your quiver with them. They can be lots of fun. Enjoy them. They shouldn't just be there for endurance. Have fun with them. The household should be fun. If there's not fun and enjoyment in the household when they grow older, they might not want to come back and visit because there wasn't much fun. Show them that you love them. Tell them that you love them. Don't just do the things. I know sometimes it's tough to say I love you. And you do things. Yeah, you work hard and go on and provide all these things. But you got to say it to them. You got to tell them, I love you. You know, I know it's tough. Sometimes, no, it's too mushy. But you got to say it. You got to say it. And finally, point your kids to God.
Amen.
Point your kids to God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, fathers, and this doesn't necessarily mean just fathers, it means both parents, bring up your child in the training and instruction of the Lord. The most important thing in life is knowing God. This knowing God is the foundational issue of life. Nothing else is important. You know, I was so eager and waiting, praying and hoping that all three of my kids would accept the Lord and come to know him as his personal Savior. And that's sort of the easy part, because once they're under your household, they'll do what you're saying. But once they go out, are they going to continue walking with the Lord? If they continue with walking with the Lord, will mean that you have modeled Christ to them. That you have shown them how much Christ means to you. That when you have difficulties, you solve your problems through a relationship with Christ. There's no phoniness. And I'm going to say something pretty strong here now. Kids don't like Jekyll and Hyde. Thank you, Pastor. That's why we have a team. Behavior from parents. You cannot behave one way at home and behave another way outside. Unfortunately, I heard somebody actually talk about their public life and their private life. No such thing. You drive the kids crazy when they see one thing at home and another outside the home. Be consistent. And I think to some degree I have, right, Cameron? Say yes. But no, seriously, you've got to be consistent in your behavior. Especially when, as I said before, when you have tough times, don't hide it from your kids. Show them, hey, things are different now. Gas price is almost $4. I've got to drive 100 miles to work. That's me. And it's tough. I'm out of a job, and I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. But I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. And I truly believe that the Lord will take me through this. Share it with your kids. Show them how you navigate through life. Let them see that God is real in your life. That is not just something that you pull out on Sunday morning, but it's something that's 24/7 for you. Tell them that you're not perfect. You might not be able to answer all their questions, but you're doing the best job you know you can. And you probably will later on regret some of the things that you've done. But you're going to do the best job you can to point them to Christ, because that's the foundation. That's the most important thing, bringing these kids to Christ, pointing them to Christ. Let us pray. You know, there might be some here who said, Donald, I can't identify with anything you've said here because I don't know Christ as my personal Savior. But it sounds good. And I want to accept Christ as my personal Savior. It's the first step to get into this sort of a healthy family. If that's your thinking, is that your wish, just put your hand up and pull it back down. Probably you might be one of those who went through a dysfunctional family as a child. And all of this, these things never happened in your home. And you're still struggling with what had happened, but you want to get by that. You're an adult now and it's gone. You know, your parents missed the boat. Probably your parents didn't know the Lord as their personal Savior. But now you know the Lord as your personal Savior. You want us to pray for your parents. Just stick your hand up and down. Probably you're in the midst of raising your kids. And some of these things you've missed out on. And you want prayer in raising these kids. Just stick your hand up and down. Say, pray for me, please. Pray that I might have the tenacity and the wisdom and the guidance to raise these kids in a healthy environment. I see a couple of hands. We'll pray for you. Probably for some of you, all of this, you went through it and it has been fine for you, and we say amen to that. Your job now is to share what you've learned with those who are in need. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your word and what it says and what the guidelines it lays out for a healthy family. We pray for those who need prayer in terms of raising these young kids. Be with them. Give them the wisdom necessary. Give them the patience, the fortitude to raise these young ones to be Timothy's for thee when they grow up. We thank thee for the time spent here hearing your word. May it penetrate the hearts and lives of each one here. Through Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As we close, I'll leave you with two things. The first one says, if you train up a child, it says in Proverbs, train up a child in the way that he's bent. He's bent means that children are made a certain way, so you got to study and learn your children. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. And you may say, how do I do that? The Bible tells us that you need wisdom. And if you don't have wisdom, all you got to do is ask for it. All you got to do is ask for it. And our God, who we talked about earlier, who's always true to his promises, will make you raise up children that you're proud of, children that take their place in this world, children that point other people to Christ. That is a promise of God, my God, my Savior. Let's just rise as we sing, standing on the promises of God.